I ask you to join me in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, from time to time, I do believe that God gives me the ability to hear the thoughts of others. And I have heard, I hope he knows what time it is. I've heard that. I've heard it. I used to love the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes, but even if you've never seen it, the story is still good. You have to picture this. In one of the comic strips, one morning, Calvin, little boy Calvin, came marching into the living room wearing a special suit of his own making. Calvin's head was encased in a large space helmet, and he had a big towel tied around his neck like a cape that went across his shoulders and was dragging on the floor behind him. And in one hand he had a flashlight, and in the other hand he had a baseball bat. And his mother looked up from her morning coffee and said, "Calvin, what's up today?" And Calvin said, "Nothing so far." She said, "What do you mean, so far?" And Calvin said, "Well, you never know. Something could happen today." And he walks off a few steps and said, "And if anything does, by golly, I'm going to be ready for it." It's not over. Calvin's mom looked straight at the reader on the last frame of the comic strip and said, "I need a suit like that." And that's the way many of us feel as we read the news, watch the news, and deal with life and deal with temptations and the lies that we tell ourselves. Today's reading from Ephesians paints a detailed symbolic picture of a suit, sort of like that, a suit of armor for battle that is more than symbolic but less than physical. Paul says we are in an ongoing conflict, a spiritual conflict with unseen influences, and we need an odd sort of armament for this ongoing conflict. And you say, "Well, you know, Jim, we don't wear armor much anymore." Well, or do we? We kind of do in a way. We wear tummy flatteners. I'm not sure what we call those anymore. We wear toupees. We wear jewelry. We wear amulets, lucky signs and symbols. We wear ink on our skin in the form of tattoos. We wear hair color. We wear other people's hair. We wear bumper stickers saying how our children are doing in school. We wear emblems showing what college or university we support. We wear political slogans. We wear other people's names as labels on our shirts and tennis shoes and jackets and pocketbooks. We wear wedding bands. We wear a practiced smile. Or if we're teenagers, we wear a practiced, solemn, grim look. I envy Adam and Eve. They didn't have to wear anything. And it's funny, when they became ashamed in the book of Genesis and wanted to cover up, it is said that they wore fig leaves. And now when we're ashamed or feel inadequate, I think we kind of wear sort of fig leaves too. Don't we cover things up with the armor that we wear? And what battle is it that we're fighting when we do that against acceptance or insecurity? That's a different thing. But the conflict that Paul is talking about is internal, and there is no amount of Kevlar in the world that can make us safe from the battle that wages within. These days, I know that many people, and maybe some here today, dismiss Paul's language as archaic and dated, but that doesn't mean the conflict isn't real. There is an ongoing spiritual battle in our minds and hearts and souls. We are the battlefield. And I'm going to give a sort of a silly, superficial example, and you can fill in the darker, more explosive examples for yourselves. Here's one from last week, from my life. I made a vow with myself that I would not eat any fast food or any ice cream for the entire week. I made it Monday morning because my weight fluctuates up and down and up and down, and it's at the top end of my acceptable fit into my clothes right now. My weight is a constant battle, and that vow, along with exercise, is the solution. Well, funny thing, after making that vow Monday morning not to eat fast food and not to eat ice cream, fast food and ice cream became the only thing I thought about. The background temptation and the desire, that was the battle for today. And again, I told you this was a silly, superficial thing. We've got much more serious ones as well. Going about my day, I passed opportunity after opportunity for one or the other, and I passed them at first. But before Monday was over, even though I had promised myself and my health and my blood pressure and my weight, these are real issues with my family genetics. Before Monday was over, I had lost the battle on all fronts. The internal battle for my own health and well-being. And I lost it. And again on Tuesday I lost it. Until I brought out the big guns, prayer, for the rest of the week. You see, I made the vow with myself because I knew I could break it with myself. If I had made it with God from the beginning and included prayer, I would have done better. It was almost failure set up. I know that sounds silly in the face of the other kind of things that we fight. There are bigger battles, other sorts of evil. There are lies. There are violence, hate, judgment of others, the witness killing unforgiveness that we are prone to. You fill in the blanks. Battles are often non-physical, but they are entirely real. You may resist the way Paul speaks about the battle, but you know that such battles occur every day on the playing field of your heart, your mind, and your soul. And it's not just temptations to do hurtful or unhealthy things, but the temptation to give in to judgment of others because of their beliefs or their race or their creed or their politics. We have the temptation toward bitterness and unforgiveness and playing out old wounds over and over and over in our minds until we convince ourselves that we have the right to hate, a clean and righteous hatred. But we're wrong. Of course we're wrong. But when we lose the internal battle and play our side over and over, we can convince ourselves of pretty much anything. In fact, I find that some part of me is very often my major foe. Some part of me, it's in there somewhere. That part that wants always and only to be right fights against the part of me that seeks peace and unity and valuing others. The part of me that wants the spotlight fights against the reality that we're all working together. And we each have a part of the ministry for God at Main Street Church. And God needs all of us. God needs each of us and has gifted us to do different things. And we all are to find our ministry here and then go and then grow. Holding too tightly to the reins of pastoral authority is no good. But then again, pretending that I have no authority is no good. And so there's a battle for balance. Paul talks about standing firm. That means you need to be balanced and firmly standing. The battle of ego against God's will. The battle within of serving me against serving God and serving others is every day. I love the saying, and I heard from an old night watchman at a campground I worked at. And he said, the trouble with life is it's so daily. It is daily. Another old saying that I heard more extended from a country preacher in Rock Hill. He said, son, if you don't have a battle within, maybe you've already lost. Because when you are trying to seek and do God's will, I believe you will find, whatever you want to call it, forces that fight you tooth and nail to do the very opposite. And the harder you try to truly serve God and not yourself, the bigger the fight. Jesus said some pretty outrageous things that fight against our sense of justice and propriety and our ego. Imagine taking Jesus' sayings very, very seriously. He said, love our neighbors and pray for our persecutors. He said, turn the other cheek and walk the second mile. And if we're robbed, it sort of reads to me like, give it all to the bandit, even our clothing, and walk away naked. Can you do that without a fight? Where is that fight going to be to follow Jesus' teachings? It's going to be inside. It's a spiritual battle, not a natural battle. In fact, I believe that the ability to behave as Jesus taught us to behave can be only given from supernatural power, the power of God through the Holy Spirit. You have to pray for that. You can't just put on your calendar and wake up one day and say, you know, this is the day that I'm going to start loving my enemies. Check. You can't do that. That won't work. It takes more than a decision. It takes the power of God to enable you to do this. It takes also the insight that God gives us, the understanding from God, that you are no better than the one you hate. I know we hate to hear it, But we are no wiser than the ones we look down upon. We are no better than the ones we want to hate. Salvation. It's a big word. It doesn't just mean heaven when we die. It means healing for our brokenness. It means wholeness. We all need healing. We are all sinners saved by grace. And the big war is won not by our merits or by our cleverness, our efforts. The war is won by God in Christ and His grace. But this is an important point. The big war is won, but there are little skirmishes still. There are battles that continue every day. And I am the battlefield. Health against unhealthy behavior. Hate against unity. Conceit against humility. Judgment against acceptance. Light versus darkness. Violence versus peace. Self versus God. My family and I, years ago, about 2004, we toured the Tower of London Museum. They have an armament museum with shields and swords and lances and chainmail and all sorts of armor from all over Europe and all over the world. It's impressive. And it is evidence that humankind has always wanted some advantage over others, defensive or offensive advantage over enemies. But there is no man-made defensive weapon on earth, and there never will be, to assist us in our internal battles. It would be silly to try to fight a spiritual battle with armor made out of steel. They are different arenas. They are different realities, but they are both real. Armor made of steel might stop an arrow. But prayer and the teachings of Jesus and the presence of God's Holy Spirit can help you resist unhealthy choices, disunity, arrogance, judgment, darkness, violence, self-centeredness. I guess the short word is sin. So stand firm, says Paul. Stand firm. Know that you're in a battle and stand firm. Use what God has given you to stand firm. In the movie The 300 about ancient Sparta, there is a scene somewhere in that movie where the leader says, "Behold the walls of Sparta." And he points around, and Sparta had no walls made of stone. They had no mounds of dirt around it. He said, "Behold the walls of Sparta." And what he meant was the trained, armed men ready to defend and stand firm for their homeland. The Spartan warriors were the walls of Sparta. They stood always ready. And that reminds me of the temple that we heard about in the Old Testament reading. You're going to say, how does that remind you of the temple? Well, the temple in Jerusalem was considered almost a fortress. It was the place where they felt God resided, that God was there in that temple. And it also represented the eternal nation of Israel and the embodiment of God's glory. And shortly after Jesus' day, that temple with those walls of stone was completely destroyed. Paul in Corinthians talks about you and me as the physical embodiment of God's presence on earth. You and I, we are important. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you?" And so you are a witness of the living God. Stand firm. There is no temple to point to, and there is no earthly Jesus to point to. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are what others see when they look for what God is doing on the earth. So stand firm. God knows, and we all know, that we have battles within. We also have God's Holy Spirit within. God's Holy Spirit available. And so stand firm and use what God has given you. Pray. Live into Jesus' teachings. They are more than words, even the hard ones. Seek God's will instead of your own, God's glory instead of your own, God's peace instead of your personal victories. There are battles every day. Stand firm. Stand with God in Christ and all that God has given us in order to be a living witness, a temple of the Holy Spirit, walking this earth. Amen.